tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, I don't know if 2017 was an amazing year for you or if it was an awful year. I don't know if it was the best year yet or just another year. It just kind of falls in with all the other years. I don't know what 2017 was for you, but what I want to do today is I want to take a second to look at some of the things that God has done in our church, and I want us to spend a few moments just visiting it, and then we're going to look forward to the future. And before we get too far into things, I just want to say that I don't think there is a better way to celebrate the last day of a year than with celebrating life change and what God has done. And I just want to throw this out there. Don't ever take for granted the fact that you go to a church that God is moving and changing in lives. Don't ever take for granted. Today in our three services, we'll baptize 7 people. The average church in America baptizes 1.6 people. I don't know how you get the 0.6, but the point is, the fact that God is changing and moving in lives, that is something that we have to make sure that we do not find common. It's so easy to get used to something that you just say, oh yeah, this is just what we do. But this is a holy moment that we get to experience. And it is something that we should maintain excitement for, that God is changing and He's using us. He's using the people that you invite and He's using you to invite people. And it really is making a difference. So I want to make sure that we do an amazing job of celebrating that. But we are going to spend some time looking forward to the future. And before we get there, I want to introduce our text. Our text today was written by the Apostle Paul. And if you're new to the church scene, Paul may not mean anything to you, but if you grew up in church or if you're familiar with the church scene, Paul is incredibly important to us. And the reason that Paul is important is because he wrote over half of the New Testament. Even more than that, he unlocked an understanding about God that changed our way that we view God. Many people before Paul's day thought that God was all about rules and all about if you followed every rule, then God liked you. But if you missed some of the rules, then God would smite you. And Paul introduces this word called grace. It is an amazing word. It's one of my favorite words. And he introduces this idea that you're not saved based off if you do good works. You're saved because Jesus loves you. And it's an amazing thing. It's amazing teaching. It's why we talk so much about Paul at Next Level Church. Well, Paul gets arrested for being a Christian. And literally a riot starts up where they want to kill Paul because he is turning the world upside down with the message that he's giving about Jesus. And they put Paul in a Roman prison. And while he's sitting in a Roman prison, he writes letters to some of the churches that he started. And he writes one letter to a church in Philippi. Now, the reason this is important is because the tone of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is very different than the tone to some of his other letters. Some of the other letters that Paul writes, he kind of writes them with like a spiritual backhand. Like, they're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so he's forceful and he's stern and he's like a coach who's trying to motivate them to do what they're supposed to do. But when you get to his letter to the Philippians, his tone is completely different. And one of the reasons is because Paul is writing a letter to thank the church in Philippi. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and the prison system in his day and age was vastly different than the prison system in our day. Today, if you have to go to prison, you get at least some meals, you get bedding taken care of, you have some things to provide for. In the day and age of Rome, when they would arrest someone and put them in prison, they took away all their rights, including food and blankets. And they were chained to a Roman prisoner and left to die unless their friends and family took care of them. Paul was in an interesting situation because Paul had left the Jewish faith to become a Christian, so all his Jewish friends wanted nothing to do with him. And his Christian friends were scared to visit him because this message of Jesus was literally turning the world upside down. And it was becoming illegal to be a Christian. So his Christian friends were nervous that if they came and visited Paul in prison, they might get arrested and have to join him in prison. So Paul is left in this prison, in this dungeon, left to die. And this little group of people in Philippi gather some supplies and some money and some of Paul's belongings, and they send it to him, and they provide for his needs. And Paul writes to them an amazing thank you letter to encourage them and to give them some inspiration. So with that understanding, I want us to read the main portion of our text today. And at Next Level, we do something. It's a little bit weird. We understand that. But we want to honor the text that we read. And so we're going to do that by standing to our feet. And I want to invite all of you to stand to your feet and read out loud. The text will come up on the screen. Philippians 3, 13 through 14, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straying toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we just are thankful for today. We're thankful for life change. We're thankful for what you're doing in our lives, in our friends' lives, in our community. And God, right now, we just ask that you'd speak to our hearts in a personal way. Would you help us to be captured by your grace? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you give us inspiration to go into 2018 as new people? And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The past is an interesting place to live. It's a place that is often distorted by our imagination. The past is a place that we visit often, and it's not just the bad things that we visit in our past, it's often the good things. And the temptation in life is to get stuck living in the past. Have you ever been to a place like, I don't know, Walmart? And just watched people. If you've ever watched people, there's a great chance that you've seen someone, and when they walk into your view, you can say to yourself, you know what? They had a great year in 1988 because their haircut has not changed since 1988. Or have you ever seen someone whose wardrobe just got stuck in a decade? Like, we've all moved on, but yet they still look very 90s. And you think the 90s must have been great to you because your haircut and your wardrobe, it just looks like everything is stuck in the 90s. Or maybe you've met a guy who all he talks about is the success that he had in high school. And you're thinking to yourself, dude, you are 57 years old. You need to move on. You are no longer the quarterback. It is so easy for us to live in the past and to think about the past and to think about our past successes and even our past failures. I love the quote by Pastor Mark Batterson. He says, "At some point in our lives, most of us stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. That's the day we stop living and start dying." How easy is it to live in the past, where the decisions that we make for the future are based off the decisions that we've made in the past? And our thought processes that are leading us to the future are the same thoughts that we've always had, and therefore we never experience life change because we continue to live and to think and to dream in the past. The past is not a bad thing, but it is an awful home. It is okay to vacation in the past from time to time, but you should never live in the past. If you want to experience some life change, if you want to experience a great year in 2018, you got to move out of the past and move towards the future. And your new home has to be in a future place. Both your new successes and even your new failures, you've got to point towards the future and not live in the past. There's a temptation for all of us to live in the past. In fact, I want to give you guys some questions to get you thinking about how much time and how often you spend in the past. These are questions for reflection. You won't have time to answer them all in this moment, so I'd encourage you to write them down, or some people even take a picture of the screen so you can reflect and think about them later. Here are some questions to help you know, are you living in the past? Number one, is there one particular period from the past that you find yourself clinging to? When you tell stories, do any of your stories happen in the last couple weeks or months, or are all your stories from the past? When you think about your success, is it future success that you're excited about, or are you just focused on your past success? Is there one particular period from the past that you find yourself clinging to, whether it's positive or negative? If so, you're living in the past. Number two, do you feel that you will never reach the level of happiness, status, satisfaction, acceptance, etc. again? Is there a part of your life where you say, you know what? Those were the good old days. Maybe if you are a parent, you have a hard time letting go of when your kids were really little. And when they were really little, you just couldn't wait for them to get old. But now that they're older, you just say, I miss when they were little. Those were the good old days. When you think about your relationships, you think, man, we used to be so happy. When you think about jobs, you say, man, I wish my current job was as good as my past job. Do you find yourself thinking about the future in a negative way because you're constantly reacting to the past? Number three, are you frustrated with where you currently are in life? Are you frustrated with where you currently are in life? One of the reasons why we get stuck in the future is because we don't change our thought processes about where we're going. And if you bring the same thought processes that got you to where you are in 2017 into 2018, you will not experience life change. We want life change to be handed to us. We want someone just to say, here you go, here's the life you always dreamed of, and we just want to passively allow life change to happen, but that's not the way life change happens. Life change happens when you're intentional about it, and if you're frustrated about where you currently are in life, there's a great sign. It's because you've been thinking too much about the past, because the past was better, and oh, if I could just get back to that weight, and if I could just get back to those relationships, and oh, I really like that time period. Well, no, you've got to move on from the past. Number four, are you fearful of the future? According to statistics, the average American is deathly afraid of the future. And one of the reasons why we're afraid of the future is because we can't control the future. And whenever we're out of control, we cling to bad behaviors. And oftentimes the fear of the future leads us to cling to things in the past that we wish we could let go of. And so are there things in your future that you're just scared of? Do you ever say things like, oh man, I just wish I didn't have another birthday. I'm just getting older. What is with that? Is there this fear that at a certain age you've peaked and the rest of your life is downhill? I don't know about you, but I haven't peaked yet. I'm not going to get to 80 and say, man, the best years of my life were back when I was 38. No. Best years of my life is whatever year I'm living right now. I'm going to make it a great year. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm going to make the future an incredible thing to experience. But you can't be afraid of the future. Are you afraid of the economy? Are you afraid of the political landscape? When you're afraid of the future, it causes you to cling to things in the past. But nobody controls the future. So you get an opportunity to make it what you want to make it. Are you fearful of the future? Number five. Does thinking about the past actually make you sad? Our brains have a way of clinging on to negative thought processes. And it's why a lot of us hate silence. It's why a lot of us can't drive in the car without music playing. It's why a lot of us have to be on the phone all the time. And we just don't allow silences in our lives because it takes us to places that we don't like to go. And if in the silent moments that you do have, if it makes you think of a negative past, if it makes you think of regret, if it makes you think of, oh man, I can't believe I did that, I wish I wouldn't have done that, then you're living in the past. And it's okay from time to time to visit the past. It's okay from time to time to say, you know what, I'm going to learn from the past. But if you want to move on, if you want to see God do something in your life, you've got to focus on the future. The Apostle Paul spends some time looking at his past and reflecting on his past, and he does this for a specific reason. In Paul's day and age, there was a group of people who were legalistic, and if you're not familiar with that term, it probably means you didn't grow up in church, because almost everyone who's grown up in church understands legalism. Legalism is this thought that if I obey certain rules, then I'm good with God, and if I mess up one time, then I'm not good with God. And there was a group of people in Paul's day and age that were incredibly legalistic. And specifically, the thing they were legalistic about was, wait for it, circumcision. That is so weird in our day and age. It's like, why would they care about circumcision? But in their day and age, the people who believed in God and loved God were circumcised on the eighth day of their life. Little boys were circumcised. And if you were a grown adult man in Paul's day and age, and you said you love God, somehow they would ask you, they would work a way around to it, they would try to figure out, hopefully they didn't look, but they would wonder, are you circumcised? And if the answer was no, then they would say, well, you don't really love God. Can you imagine living in that kind of pressure? What do you mean I don't love God? Like, they were incredibly
legalistic. And Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he's like, listen, guys, I know that you are under this pressure of legalism, but let me just tell you, I've lived the life of legalism. And Paul goes on to highlight some of the things of his past that give him a spiritual resume, that give him a reason to brag. And I want to show you what he says, because then the end line of what he says about his past is so crucial for us as we're moving into our future. Look at what Paul says. He says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, if there's anyone who could brag about their spiritual resume, it's me. Look at what he says. Circumcised on the eighth day. Did you see what he led with? Do you know why this is important? It's not important to us, but in his day and age, it was incredibly important. And the first thing on his resume was like, look, the big idea, the big problem they have, check. Got that taken care of. Of the people of Israel. If you're not familiar with the scriptures, God's chosen people in the Old Testament were the Israelites, and they had all sorts of issues, and they fought amongst themselves, and they ended up being in separate camps, and the one camp called Israel was considered to be the highlight camp, the best of the best. And in Paul's day and age, the family line that you were born out of mattered a lot. It was kind of like if you're born in Texas. People just born in Texas, they brag about it. They put it on their resume. They're like, I'm from Texas. See? If I would have said Idaho, people would have been quiet. They would not have, no one would have been like, woo, Idaho proud. But Texas has like some bragging rights. And in Paul's day and age, if you were from the tribe of Israel, it was something to brag about. And Paul says, listen, I'm from that tribe. Check. Look what he says next. The tribe of Benjamin. It's incredibly important to those people in that day and age. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That is to say, he was the best of the best. Not just kind of dabbling in this religious thing. He was the top. He was the best. He says, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. A Pharisee was like a pastor on steroids. They were very religious. They were the religious leaders of Paul's day and age. He says, as for zeal, persecuting the church. Now, I want to just camp out there just for a second. If you're not familiar with the story of Paul, Paul had such a passion for God that when this message of Jesus Christ first came out, he thought it was a heresy. He thought it was blasphemous. And he actually went around the country arresting Christians because he was so offended that anyone would say that Jesus was God. And then on his way to persecute and to put Christians in prison, he has a vision that Jesus appears to him in a bright light and it blinds him. And Jesus speaks to him and says, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting my people? And it radically changed his life. And Paul says, listen, for those people who have a lot of legalism, I had so much legalism in me that I actually persecuted and I killed Christians. Put that on my resume. Look at what he says next. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. What does that mean? Well, Paul's saying that based off the morality of their day and age, he checked off every box. He didn't make big mistakes. He didn't have a dreadful past. He had literally done everything that the law of God required him to do. But then look at what he says next. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. If you've ever lifted weights or been around someone who lifted weights, they like to talk about gains, getting gains. Going to the gym, getting my gains. Gains are a great thing to get. Gains are something that you brag about. I used to only be able to lift this amount of weight, but then I got gains, and now I'm able to lift a lot more weight. And Paul flips the script on this idea of gains. Paul says, everything that I gained in my legalistic religious life, I now consider it a loss compared to knowing Jesus. Now, this may not be significant to you, but I just want to put this into context just for a second. Paul's literally saying, I have the best resume for any religious person ever to live. And I consider it garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Specifically, the word that Paul uses is a fun little Greek word to say. It's the word skubala. Would you humor me and would you just say the word skubala out loud? One, two, three. Skubala. Would you look at your neighbor and say skubala? Skubala. Now, skubala doesn't mean a lot to us, but the Greek word skubala is actually a scandalous word.
It's one of the few words that I remember from the Greek classes that I had to take in seminary. And the reason that I remember it is because it is almost borderline. It might even be a curse word. Literally, what Paul is saying is that all of his past success outside of Jesus is refuse. It's cock-a-poo-poo. It is a curse word. It is garbage. It is disgusting. It is nothing to brag about compared to knowing Jesus. It is scubala. The next time... The next time you get angry and you're trying to watch your French and you don't want to use a bad word, go Greek. Use skubala. No one will know what you're talking about. Paul says, compared to knowing Jesus, everything in my past is skubala. And so he visits his past for just a little bit to celebrate some of the things that he's done. He highlights his past, but he doesn't live there. In 2017, there were a lot of highlights for us. In fact, I would argue that 2017 was the best year yet for us as a church. In 2017, we saw and accomplished a lot of things. It wasn't an easy year. There were lots of difficulties. There were lots of hassles. There were lots of hard times. But there were some amazing things. And we were able to see God do some incredible things in our church. And what I want to do just for a second is I want to highlight some of the cool things that God did. We put together a slideshow that just features some of the cool God stories and some of the stuff that God did. And I want to show you that now. So if you guys will look at the screens, check it out.
Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love, you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of you. Oh. Let go. Give me your heart, give me your soul.
So Paul spends some time revisiting the past, and he says, when I think about my past, it's just scuba compared to the future of where I'm going. I want to show you Paul's very next line of what he says next. It's so important for us today. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, but one thing I do. I want to stop there just for a second. I don't know how you do goals, but oftentimes when I get motivated to do a goal, I don't focus on one thing. I focus on six things at once. And I think I'm going to change all these things, and I come up with these big goals, these lofty goals, and then in a couple weeks I forget about all of them. How different would 2018 be if you just said one thing? Just one thing. I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to revisit it. I'm going to focus on it over and over again. I know we all have lots of issues. We have lots of things that we need to work on. But what if you just said, hey, listen, one thing. There is one thing that I'm going to work on. There's one thing that I want God to do in my life. There's one thing that I want to improve on. I'm going to focus on one thing. Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. What's interesting about what Paul says is, forgetting what is behind, he makes it sound like it's easy to do. And we know it's not easy to do. But what's even more difficult is straining towards what's ahead. Have you ever made a goal in life and you felt really motivated to do it, but then after a few weeks, that motivation ends? Have you ever been to the gym in January? If you go to the gym every month, January is such an annoying time because everything's so crowded in January. And people are taking your machine, and there's longer to wait. And you look at all these people. Just be honest. You're judgmental. You look at them and say, you're not going to be here in February. I wouldn't be mad if you were going to be here in February, but you're just complicating my life in January. So just end it now. Don't even go to the gym. That's the thought that you have. Right? Because everyone makes these New Year's Eve resolutions, these things that they want to do. But isn't it hard to actually push through and actually get to that future? And the reason it's so hard is because the past, we carry it with us. And we go back to old behaviors and old patterns and old thought processes. And we say, I want 2018 to be different. I want it to be new. But then we drag the past with us. And Paul says, in order to get to the future, you got to forget the past. In fact, that takes us to the big idea for today. In order to forget your past, you must have a future to look forward to. In order to forget your past, you must have a future to look forward to. Now, if Paul was living in a mansion, if he had received a lot of money and had an amazing life because of his relationship with Jesus, this verse would not be as significant. But do you remember where Paul was when he wrote this letter?
Roman prison.
And literally Paul is saying, I'm excited about my future. I can't promise you that 2018 is going to be a great year for you. I don't know what tragedy may come your way. I don't know what heartbreak may come your way. I don't know if you'll accomplish everything that you set out to do. It may be an incredibly difficult year, but Paul is saying, if you know Jesus, the best is yet to come. We have a little rule at Next Level Church. When one person starts to clap, if everyone could just follow along, because it's really awkward for me that they're clapping so loud, and I look back, and that whole section's just staring at me like, do you just not clap in church, or did you not like the point? Like, what? But I'm not going to live in the past, and we're going to move on to the future. That was much better. Look, the past is easy to live in because it doesn't take any work. All you have to do is think about it and you're right back there. But the future, you got to press on to the future. You got to press on past the negative thoughts that you have, past the old thought behaviors, past the old junk to get into the future. And here's something I would love to throw out to you. I can't tell you what goals you should make. I can't tell you how you should live your life. But I just want to throw out something for you just to think about. If you want 2018 to be different, would you intentionally include time with God? Did you know that the average Christian, not the average American, the average Christian doesn't pray once a day? Now, I get it. That's not judgmental. I get it. My life is busy. I got stuff to do. I've got kids to raise. I got a church to run. I've got all sorts of stuff to do. It is so easy to go throughout your entire day and to not think once about God. And here's a challenge for you. If you do not intentionally make time for God, you will not have time for God. If you don't intentionally make time for God, you will not have time for God. So if you want to break into 2018 with some new thought processes and new patterns, why don't you start a new thing by including God as a part of your day? What if every morning when you woke up, before you got out of bed, before you got to your coffee, what if you spent a couple minutes reading the Bible and just saying a prayer? What if you looked through your calendar and you said, okay, God, this is what I have going on today. I have these meetings. I have these appointments. God, would you bless them? God, would you give me grace to deal with this situation? God, would you help me? What would happen if you spent the first few moments of every day in 2018 praying and thinking about a word from God? How different would your life be? What about if you just made it a rule in your life that before you eat food, you'll thank God for the blessings that you have? You see, it's so easy to get so carried up in our lives that we literally go all day without thinking about God. But what if all of us, just everyone in the room, just said, you know what, before I eat, I'm just going to thank God for something. And before you ate food, just say, hey, God, I thank you for this meal. I thank you for my day. I thank you for my health. I thank you for, just say thank you to something. If you did that, if you spent the first few moments with God in the morning, and then if you eat three meals a day, you would spend four times, a minimum of four times a day, talking to God. How different would your life be if you engaged with God on a regular basis? We all want to get to a different future, but I am convinced that if you want to get to the future that Paul's talking about, you got to pursue Jesus. And Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and he's saying to himself, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited because with Jesus, your story is never over. It's never done. It's always the best is yet to come when you follow Jesus. And Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love the quote by Tom Ferry. He says, the past is nothing more than a story we tell ourselves. Continuing to tell that story verbally or non-verbally eventually turns it into a reality. And the truth is none of us like to think about the past. When we think about our difficulties, when we think about the hard stuff we struggle with, we don't like to think about it. We like to think about a preferred future. But if you're going to visit the past, the thing you should visit is what got you into the messy areas to begin with. Because the truth of the matter is there are some thought processes, and there are some patterns, and there are some addictions, and there are some things that we have in our life that we don't want to wrestle with. And in order to get to that future, you got to spend a little time wrestling with it in order to move on. And Paul says, listen, I press on to the future. But you got to be willing to deal with some of the things in your past. If you don't want to take care of some of the stuff in your past, I guarantee you it's going to come back to haunt you in the future. In 2017, my wife and I, we bought a new house. We moved from a house in Hampton that we lived in for 4 years, and we moved to York County. And a few weeks after moving out of this house in Hampton, my wife got a message from our former neighbor that let us know that the bomb squad had visited our old house and that apparently there was a missile in our attic. The news picked up on it. Channel 3, I have a picture of what Channel 3 had to say. It says, they call it an ordnance, but it was a missile. The ordnance was determined to be a training round with no explosive charge. Well, thank God. The point is, there was a missile in my attic. And for 4 years, I didn't have a fat clue the missile was in my attic. We had inspectors come check out our house before we moved. I had friends in the attic. I'd been in the attic a little bit, but the attic was kind of a tight fit, and I don't like tight fits. So I didn't spend a lot of time in the attic, and I missed the fact that there was a missile in my attic. The truth of the matter is there are some missiles in the attic of your mind, and you're ignoring them. And there are some things that are ready for detonation, and the reason that we don't experience life change in the future is because we're ignoring the junk in the attic. And you shouldn't live in the attic, you shouldn't hang out there for a long period of time, but you got to visit and say, you know what, that missile don't belong. Something's not right up here. If you want to get to the future, if you want to press on to the future,
You got to be willing to face it. There's some ugly stuff in your past. 2017, for me personally, I saw some amazing things. I had a goal to lose weight, and I lost almost 40 pounds, and it was incredible. Don't clap. Whoa, 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 whoa. Normally, I appreciate the clap, but this is not the time. Because here's what happened. I went through a couple months of hard training and hard thinking, and then I thought to myself, I earned a chance to cheat. And I quickly gained back the 40 pounds that I lost. Why? Because there's, thank you. I share that with you to share all of us have some missiles in the attic. All of us have some struggles. All of us have some thought processes that are destructive to us. And it's not just about setting a goal for 2018. You got to be willing to wrestle with stuff and ask yourself, why? Why is this an issue in my life? Why is this something I can't overcome? What am I doing wrong that I'm bringing all this junk with me? And what can I do differently to get to the future? And if you set a future goal, it'll lead you to run away from your past. And who knows, maybe 2018 will be the year that you accomplish everything that God has destined you to accomplish. Paul then goes on to say, and we'll conclude with this section. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Now I want to stop there for a second. Paul is saying anyone that thinks they're mature. Now the church has a history, not Next Level Church, just the church as a whole in America has a history of people who have been in the church for a long time feel like they constantly need new information. And if they don't get new information, a new take, a new angle, some new inspiration, the common phrase that church people give is, that just wasn't deep enough for me. Just wish the pastor would go deeper. I like my teachings deep. I don't have a fat clue what deep means, but I hear it. I hear it from people in churches all across America. Every church in America has someone saying, it's not deep enough. Every church does. Because Christians think that in order to go deep, I need something new. But look at what Paul says. Paul says, all of you who call yourself mature, live up to what you already attained. Before you get on to some new teaching, how different would your life be if you just put into practice the old junk that you learned already? And we constantly want to be stimulated and inspired for something new. But the truth of the matter is, I got a lot of knowledge I don't put into practice. I know what to do. I don't need new information. I just need to do the junk that I know what to do. And what would happen if you said to yourself, the one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on God. And I'm going to allow Him to give me some new goals and new dreams. And He's going to inspire me to get to my future. And I'm going to forget some of these old thought processes and old patterns. And if I'm going to remember anything, I'm just going to remember the stuff that I've already been taught about God. Paul says, forget the past, cling to the future. And if you're mature, you should have this exact same mindset. So at Next Level Church, I give goals at the end of every year, beginning of every year, to help us aim towards the future. And I want to give you guys some goals. These are not just my goals. They're not just our staff's goals. It's all of us as a church. And I would love for all of us, if this is your church, I would love for all of us to figure out ways on how we can accomplish this. Number one, here's the first goal. Every owner, invest in one unchurched person and see them take a spiritual next step. The average Christian in America has not invited one person to church in a year. Jesus' last command to his people were to go into all the world and make disciples. A disciple is just a follower of Jesus. How different would it be if every single one of us just said, you know what, I have an unchurched neighbor, I have an unchurched relative, I have an unchurched family member, I have an unchurched coworker, and I'm just going to invest in them. I'm just going to show them the love of God. And I'm going to see what happens. How different could their 2018 be if they experience the love of Jesus through you? Number two, 50 baptisms. This one makes me nervous. We set a goal this year for 30 baptisms, and as of today, we've baptized 27 people. If you know of anyone that wants to get baptized, we have one more service.
But 50 baptisms. Now, the reason this is on there is because in order to achieve a goal, you have to have something measurable. And our first goal is for every owner, that is every person that calls Next Level Church, to invest in and invite someone to take a spiritual next step. Well, how are we going to measure that? Well, if the 300-some adults that are here at our church, if all of us invested in someone, 50 people getting baptized would be an easy goal. It'd be easy. If we don't, it's going to be impossible. But I like big goals, and I cannot lie. Number three, financially be at a place to take our student pastor to full-time salary. This year we were able to pay some money, a little bit of money, towards our student pastor who's doing incredible things, investing in our teenagers 6th through 12th grade, and we want to be at a place financially where we can be comfortable to take him on to full-time staff. And so those are our three goals. That's the future that we're aiming for, and all of us play a part in that. Will you guys pray with me? God, we come before you right now, and we just thank you for the fact that you allow us to visit the past. But we ask right now in Jesus' name that you would inspire us to get to the future. God, would you just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in our hearts, in our minds? Would you help us to get out of our own way? God, for the thought processes that are holding us back, for the thought processes that are leading us to self-destruction, God, would you help us to overcome them? God, would you help us to be inspired to spend time with you every day? And God, when we fail, thank you in advance that you meet us in the middle of our failure. We thank you for what you've done, but we are so excited for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.